We'll have some parents sneak back in just a few moments. And while we're getting started with that, let me just ask you to think about the ministry of Mount Pleasant as we get involved in our service this morning for the remaining moments that we have. It's been a very good service already. The Lord has blessed us with some great information about His work going on in our world, and using folks right here with us this morning to do that. And you know, we have a world right here at Mount Pleasant and in our community that the Lord has planted this church in 156 and a half years ago, and people's lives have been transformed over these last 156 years. But one of the great things that we did as we look back over the history of our church is get involved in mission work. And we continue to do that. We want to place resources in the hands of those who've been called and gifted to do that. And that is part of our outreach at Mount Pleasant. And it should be part of the outreach of every church organization as you look at opportunities to put the gospel in the hands of people all over the world. There's going to be a day when the Lord returns and His people are called home. And when that happens, and I believe it's not going to be too far off, when that happens, I believe that there'll be an accounting of our opportunities, the times that we were given to share, and we'll be aware of those times that we missed the opportunity. We'll also be aware of the times that God used us in a very big way when we didn't know that He was doing it. And a lot of good things in store. So just be aware of the needs, of the opportunities, of the calling upon your heart. That is the best way to go forward. And as we get started in the ministry, or in our message this morning, I would like to ask us to think about how faithfulness is a part of the life that we're living. And we used a passage of Scripture last week, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 36, but I don't want to get into that just yet. I want to close with that, but it is our theme. And if you want to go there, that's fine, and read that, because I think that has a bearing on what we're talking about all the rest of the time that we're sharing this morning. And I'm not going to keep you that much longer, so don't feel like I'm going to just dump a whole load on you for another hour or so. We're gonna get out of here, but let's not let the focus be on getting out. Unless, how many of you have a roast in the oven? Do people even do that anymore? Is it a turkey roast? Or I think it's probably wild game, probably roadkill for you, right? That's our animal behind the cage back here. We got to keep him satisfied. We are excited about what faithfulness means to the outpouring of God's work at Mount Pleasant Baptist. And last week we touched on what God is doing for us and through us. And we're going to just move a little bit closer to that this morning as we think about what it means to be faithful. And I have a slogan, or a word, I guess a phrase that I want to share with you this morning, and that is that unfailing love happens to be the thing that breeds faithfulness. And if you put that in your own life, you'll recognize that the people who have seemed to be more sensitive to your needs, the people who have wrapped their hearts around you, that love you and are excited for you and are blessed by your life, they have been the ones who have shown you how faithfulness works. If people have come into your life and have just shown you, no matter what you've done, that they're going to love you through it, no matter what happens, you know how to respond to that. And the response that you have is oftentimes in awe. Even though you might stray away a little bit, you might forget who they are for a moment, or you might not tap into that resource of love, you'll never, in the deepest sense of your longing, you'll never, ever stray away from that kind of unfailing love that you've seen in your life. Most of us can take that back to our parents. Most of us have people in our life that were adults that have demonstrated unfailing love to us, and they are the people who have warmed our hearts. And we want to be faithful like them. We want to be faithful back to them. So I think it's true that unfailing love breeds faithfulness. And maybe to make my point just a little bit better, we can hear this from God's word in Psalm 103, verses 6 through 18. Let me share that with you right now. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. Love that, don't you? You know, the Lord is full of unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust, for our days on earth are like grass. Like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandment. Now that's a lot of reading, but it's a great synopsis of the kind of God that has created the world and has put you in it. The kind of God that has not just created the universe and the world and put you in it, but the kind of God that says, I've not forgotten you. I am there with you, and I'm going to love you even through your ugliness, even through that. If we could station life in phases, like before God, with God, and then acting like children with God, and then grown-ups with God. I mean, there's a lot of things. You can look at your own family life. You can see how tender and loving we can be, and natural outflow of that tender love for little bitty children, but wait till they get older. And then they start doing things and saying things, and then turning their back on you and making you feel miserable, and then your heart aches for them. And even in that moment, and even those times that that happens, God's love, our love, like his, will never fail. We may be upset with them. We may be worried about them, but our love will never fail our kids. That is what God calls us to. So in this passage of Scripture, we have an identifying characteristic of God that's worthy of looking at. Let me just share what this looks like from Psalm 103. I just read the words, but I just want to give you some bullet points. He is just and fair. You want a God that's just and fair? You want a God that can look at your life and you're looking at him and saying, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean that. It came out of something deep within me, and I know it was wrong. Please forgive me. You want a God that says, I understand. I forgive you. I love you. Don't you? That's the kind of God we want. This God's character doesn't just stop with just and fairness, but the psalmist reminds us that he is compassionate, that he is merciful, that he's slow to anger, that he has this continual, unfailing love. He's filled with it. That is the character of God. So if you want to pin God on a wall as an angry God and out to just smite all the people in the world, then you kind of got the wrong picture of God. The real God looks like the God that's been characterized in Psalm 103. He is one who is just and fair, compassionate, merciful, and slow to anger. And he loves you without fail. There is a sense of evidence to this as you read on in this passage. For one thing, we read that he won't accuse us or remain angry with us forever. Now that seems a little bit out of touch with what we have known God to be in the traditional doctrinal sense that we've come from, maybe. That God is upset with us when we stray off the path, when we don't look as holy as he wants us to look. When we get a little bit more self-perspective than what we should have. And we're more concerned about my life, my gain, my particular agenda than anything else in the world. We think that God is angry with that. But God is angry at sin, and what leads us to sin and our predisposed position to that is not what He's angry at. He's angry with what develops in that sin, and He's angry against the enemy who created the opportunity for you to sin to begin with, and He has already won the battle there, folks. He's already taken care of that issue. So when God looks at you, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ, and He is not going to accuse you forever. And I think this is a picture of Jesus and His grace coming into the picture, of Jesus and His healing power that He brings spiritually for us. So forever is a big, big word, and God is not going to accuse us or remain angry with us forever. And then secondly, we hear the evidence of God's great character resides in the fact that He doesn't punish us as we deserve. All of us deserve eternal separation. And to be point blank, there is a hell, so why not just admit it? When we die from this world, absent from God, we'll be living in hell, which is eternal separation. That's where we're headed without God. And God is not going to punish us as we deserve, because we all deserve that. We've lived in total separation from God because of the fall of mankind. But Jesus came into the world to make something different of that. He took the devil by the ears and He said, "You're not going to win." He went after His death and burial into the depths of the earth and proclaimed victory over the devil's work. And He rose up from the grave to show the power of that, and He gave that to those who believe and trust in Him. Look at the power of God there. Dispensed it to you and me. We don't have to live afraid of anything anymore. God's unfailing love has demonstrated that faithfulness is valued back to Him. How could we not be faithful to a God like that? And even so, like we've not heard enough already, the psalmist points out a measure of God's love. And I love the way he uses space and time for us. But it's not just the two things you've already outlined, where His love is as high, what does he say? For His unfailing love toward us who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. So He uses the dimension of height. How far above us is heaven? Who knows, right? It's infinite. We don't have any idea. The universe is expansive. We can't get our head around that. But that's how high. That's the dimension. You can't reach the end of it. That's how high the unfailing God is as great for us. We can't get the end of it. We can't see it. We can't imagine it. We can't even put a measuring stick to it. But the unit of measure has been given as height. But there's also another unit of measure that He gives, and that is the width of His love. And the fact that He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now, if you're a literalist and you draw lines from one point of the earth and you go all the way around to the other side of the earth, you can go 180 degrees where the two will meet, right? Well, that's not the imagery that God gives us. It is a space imagery. It is from here to the east where we cannot measure its stop. East. And it's as far to the west we cannot measure its stop. And that's how far God has taken the sin of our life and taken it and removed it from us, because now He sees Jesus. He sees the life of Jesus in us. But there's a third dimension. Verse 13 says, "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him." Folks, that is the depth of God's love. Like a daddy who loves you. He loves you. He is tender. He's compassionate. Now, to fear God is to revere Him. To fear What would life be like without Him? That's the best place to be. Not to fear Him. When I feared my dad, I feared that I would lose His love, that He would not respect me, that He would not bless me. I feared that my dad would not be proud of me. That's the fear I had of my God. Now listen, if we put God and we took these two things, the character of God, the measure of His love, and we put it together as the psalmist has, and we think about our faithfulness to Him, how could we not demonstrate a faithful life to a God like this? So when God has called us together, He also points out, I know how frail you really are. Listen to verse 14. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflower. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, and as though we had never been. Now that's a pretty dark picture. That puts a different light on this life. We aren't, as the 60s songwriter says, like dust in the wind. The Bible describes us that to give us hope that we could understand that our time on earth is fragile and it comes and goes as fast as we can imagine, or faster than we could ever put into our imagination. People may not remember who we are, but the life we live is not to be lived for us anyway. 150 years from now, people will never know who John Dunaway is. But there will be people whose lives have been touched, hopefully, by my ministry, whose eternal being will be secure, and I'll be able to see them in heaven again. And that's the touch you have of people around you. God's great influence on us. This world is worthless. This life is worthless without the spiritual connection and identity with God. You will come and you will go. But listen, that phrase comes up again, but the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear Him. And listen to this. This is great. All who are faithful to Christ does these two things. Who are faithful to His covenant and obey His commands. His covenant. You remember what that is? The covenant of God through Christ, the fulfillment of all the law. His covenant is the pouring of the blood of Jesus out for the remission of sins, that we might be one with Him. And listen to the second thing. Obedience to His commands. What is His commands? Thou shalt not smoke or drink or hang around with people who do. That's not in there. I'll tell you what is in there. The commandment, Jesus said, of all the prophets and the law are hinged on these two things. Love God and love others. Love God. Love others. So we have the covenant, which is Jesus. And we have the commands of God, which come through all the summation of the life of Christ, is to just pour our hearts out in love to God and then love others through that same kind of love. This is the God who loves us. His unfailing love draws faithfulness from His people. I want to ask you today to think very clearly, very carefully about your faithfulness to God. He calls your name. He's called you into a place where He wants you to be with Him, in unity with Him, in service with Him, in worship, in communication, in cooperation, in growth with Him. He has called us to be with Him through all things in this world, that we might have meaning and purpose that will last all the way into eternity. Our faithfulness is the giving of ourself. Holy, surrendered, holy. Giving of our life. that He might take every bit of it. All the things that we're about, all the gifts that we have, all the time that we have in this world, and all of our possessions then belong to God when we're totally surrendered to Him. So when I'm driving my car and someone else needs help, then I might be encouraged by God to use that car for something just to get me from point A to point B. Or the money I have in my bank, or the house that I'm living in, or the church that I'm going to is not just mine, and the food that I've been eating is not just mine. All these things belong to God, so our faithfulness comes down to our perspective of what do we do now with the things that God has granted us as a blessing in our life. If they don't belong to me, then who gets them? As you share with the Meeks family, that's part of your sharing, because you witness something in these videos that shows a man who is an engineer with a flight opportunity to bring food, hospital care, and personnel into places where they would not be able to go without them. That's who's sitting right here, the man that's been called by God to put a hand on his life, he and his wife and his family. And from the sounds of it, Daniel is also getting involved in that. And so Daniel's being blessed by the blessing of his family. We can't do that, can we? Can you fix a plane? Are you a doctor? If you are, or if you're a nurse, then maybe there's another calling that you're responding to too. What are the gifts in your life? What is your mission, determination, and purpose for God? And if we can't go there, then remember, God has put a place in front of you like Mount Pleasant where our gifts can be dispersed in places where they'll be used. The gospel is going to be preached in this church. It'll be taught in our classes. The work of service will be done. The truth will be heard. Families will be encouraged at Mount Pleasant Baptist. Does that fit with your goal of and your objective of seeing God at work through your life? Then your contribution at Mount Pleasant Baptist, more than money, but including the funds you have, is important. Folks, this is not a drive for funds. This is a drive for total surrender. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with all the aspects of your living? And if you do see in front of you in the seat, there is a card there. It has the logo of Faithful in it. And this logo is provided for you to pick up that card and you'll recognize it, and it's a time for you to make some determinations and surrender to God. And just check the boxes that matter to you and fill this card out. Help us to know if you are on board with Mount Pleasant Baptist in a way of service. And give that to us today or any time between now and say the middle of December so that we can know, so that we can pray with you. And we can support you through this cause. God has got a big work in store for us. And He's got some mighty plans, and those plans include His unfailing love to you in your life, which will draw our faithfulness to Him. And there's that passage of Scripture, Hebrews 10:35-36. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised you. May God bring a blessing to the reading of His Word today. Let's pray. Father, I ask You to listen to our hearts. Meet us in the life we're living right now, the frustration we may be having, the aggravation we may be having, knowing that that can be melted down into just one thing, and that is Your love for us. Help us to see that and respond to that faithfully in every aspect of our life. We ask You, God, to wake us up, stir our hearts, draw us to You in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our final song, and I encourage you to come and let the Lord have a bearing, have a stronghold on your life, and may your decision today be according to that. Let's stand, please. And let's sing this final song.
my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Come on, church. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. It's what we've been talking about, isn't it? Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. I am found.